is what the government does. The government does 100-year plans. You know, if you take it, it's true, as individuals, we may not live that long. But the fact of the matter is we do our part, we infect other people with the ideas of freedom, the ideas of protecting your rights. See, I don't encourage people to attack the government. I encourage people to defend their rights. Okay? And if necessary, sue the government when it tramples on your rights. That's fair and proper. To just blindly attack, that's not good. And so I'm against rebellion, I'm against revolution, but I'm sure for a strong protection of your rights and holding them to task, do counterclaims, okay? These people that exceed authority. Now, some people have mentioned RICO. And RICO's nice, too, you know, if you can show a pattern of criminal activity, violation of rights. Yeah.
Revolution is a term that comes from science. If you talk about anything to go against what they're doing, it would be revolt. The earth revolves on its axis, and that's a peaceful action, and that comes from science. So if we talk about anything, it would be revolt.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're into word etymology, then I would say great. But I don't think that the bureaucrats think in those terms. I think the bureaucrats, you know, and as I use the word revolution, that's what they understand. And basically they associate the word violence with the word revolution. Okay? And so the bottom line is that I recommend to everybody that they protect their rights. And do it through the courts, peacefully. What do I say? What's the motto of the nitty-gritty law school? Encouraging the government to obey the law. That's all. That's all I want. If you obey the law, everything would be just fine. Okay? None of us would be in this room, actually, if they obeyed the law. But there are those people, rogue elements within government, that don't obey the law. And that's exactly what kicks us into action. You know, there's an interesting thing about the Japanese, when they took over, I think it was some island in the Philippines, okay? And there were, and it was a fairly large population in that island. And they, there were local people who were opposed to the Japanese takeover, and so they tended to resist the Japanese in various ways. The Japanese had a simple solution. When you find them, kill them. Okay? But the problem was, is every time they killed one of those guys, two or three of his friends who were up until that time kind of neutral and didn't want to get involved, made them mad. And if for everyone they killed, they got two or three more, and it ended up so many people were against them, the Japanese could go nowhere with any confidence they were safe, and they eventually had to abandon the project.
Sound like Iraq.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay, part of the question is also...
And IRL, same thing, yeah.
Part of the question is also, what is revolution in this case?
Well,
and actually, who is doing it? When you think about it, it's really the bureaucrats that are revolting.
Yeah, well, I guess one way to look at it is that the members of government apparently have declared their independence from the people.
Yeah.
That's how it appears to me. But see, I don't think revolution is the proper topic here. You know, I believe that what we have is all of us have a common interest in protecting our rights, and we have a common interest in making sure that those people in government who disobey the law need to be called to task for it. They are the ones who should be brought through the legal process and be taken care of through the courts. That's our stock in trade here, is taking care of the offenses through the courts. We do that, and if enough of us do it, and as the word spreads, and you inform other people, and as that one of you gets attacked, and you tell your friends, they get mad, and they pick up on the spirit, there's a percentage that will work. Remember this, that in the American Revolution, it was equally divided between those who were pro-king, those who were anti-king, and those who didn't care one way or the other. Okay? And out of the people that were anti-king, there were 10% of the anti-kingers that were actually involved in some way overturning the king. You understand, 10% of one-third means 3% of the population. It only took 3% of the population to convince them to let go. Okay? So that's what we need to do. With 3% of our population, if we could get 3% of the people out there in the courts attacking, doing countersuits, and when you're attacked, now this is a strategy that I believe in. When I'm attacked, I believe in settling the attack. They want the tax from me? Okay, I'll pay it. You give me a ticket? Okay, I'll pay it. But I pay it with conditions. Okay? Without prejudice. That means I'm reserving all my rights. Now, are you happy? Oh yeah, they're happy. Okay? You paid your debt to society. Is it, you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, great. I'm glad to know that. Here's the problem. I'm not happy. Okay? Now, I can put my full energy into attacking them in the courts, bringing suit for their wrongdoing. And not only that, they actually took your money, so they perfected their offense. They perfected the crime. Okay?
Yeah.
Now it's no longer excuses. And I'll tell you, I know some of these fines they levy seem a little high or whatever they do, but you get that out of the way, do you have any idea what you're going to cost them? Let me tell you something. A well-conducted suit at law is going to cost them a good $25,000 to $100,000 to defend. That's usually a lot more than what they're trying to get from you, okay, in terms of traffic tickets or taxes or whatever, typically, okay? Now, some are more. Look, these guys are in business. They're conducting a government business. And if you run their costs up, see, if they can put you in jail, somehow that's money in their pockets. It's not an expense like they claim. They get money. I don't know where it comes from, but they get money. But the feds also get it from somewhere, okay? Person's in jail, that's an asset of some kind that they can borrow again. So, but if you settle the account, and then you're suing them, and they're spending money to defend the suit, where's the profit? See, that's what you want to do. The idea is, your individual case, win or lose, not important in the big picture. Only important to you personally, and that's fine. You do battle as best you can. But just remember, when you can run their costs up, you're having the real effect. I'm sorry, I kept you waiting.
No, that's great. Rather than use a lawsuit as first resort, wouldn't it be better to notice them that they've caused you injury and present a claim in cases that aren't pressing, where they don't have you, they're not dragging you into court, maybe the code enforcement man came out or some situation like that. Could I have your thoughts on that? Does it reinforce your claim, your position, your perception of being fair and just to give notice?
What I suggest is that you do a notice and demand. Okay? So there you have it.
I have one comment, Bill, a couple. On the subject of revolution, if people were taught that when the war for independence started, it was a revolution. When we won the war for independence. So I have kind of a simple procedure that I deal with. When people call it a revolution, they must be English and think we lost. So get in the habit of calling it a war for independence, and we won. Now, the second thing I'd like to bring to your attention is we've got to stop this guy because we're liable to get America back if he continues. If we can bring the common law to our understanding, and I'm the hardest guy in the world to make understand, you're going to be looking at Resurrection Day for your country. And we can send the revolutionary Tory bastards back to England again. And by the way, they're here. Yeah, the regulatory agencies are all the Tories. They're still here. But anyway, Bill is teaching something that every one of these CDs that goes out of here, DVDs, whatever they are, should be passed on to your children and grandchildren, because you see, the reason we're here is this should have been taught when we was in, you know, junior high at least, high school. Civics they used to teach until we went to total communism, I guess. And we'll have to be thankful that Bill is going to be around for a while. Let me tell you what, if they stop this guy's action, you know, I mean, they've been known to do that, you know. It's going to be a cold day in hell before one of us can pick up the pieces where he's at. So the next thing I want to bring to your attention is Bill would like to be doing this maybe every 3 or 4 weeks, have another seminar, because we went through two. The first one was on motion, this one is on sovereignty. And if he can ever get support enough to devote his time to this thing, 100% of his time, we would be the recipients of that blessing. So the next time he's due up, I don't care if it's fly shit on the wall, come and hear him. Okay.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you. I hope I merit all that.
Absolutely.
But let me tell you another technique. I just want to sneak this in. Whenever you have legal procedures, statutory, there is sometimes a common law equivalent. And when they create the statutory law, they usually build in somewhere into the statutory law a statutory procedure that gives you the common law benefit you're looking for. Now, specifically, what I have in mind here is a thing called a lis pendens. Whenever you have an interest in a property and you're suing somebody about it, an attorney can file a lis pendens on the property that notifies a future buyer or a future lender that this property is at stake. And if there's a lawsuit involved, and they might buy the property, but since it's on public record with a lis pendens, they buy it, and whoever loses, then they lose their rights to the property, they lose their money too, and it goes back to whoever sued for it in the first place, okay? Now that's the statutory procedure. If you follow the common law procedure, well, let's put it this way, if you go down to the county recorder and try to file a lis pendens, the county recorder would say, well, only an attorney can file it, okay? Now, so here you are with your lawsuit, but you can't file it like an attorney could. So, in one sense, you could say, well, I am the attorney. I'm the attorney of record on my own case, and therefore I should be able to. That is an argument you can make. But there's something better. In the either the Civil Code or the Code of Civil Procedure, I forget which it is. I think it's the Civil Code. Section 800 and something. I was looking for it here, but I didn't see it. I thought it was 870. But there is a procedure calling for a notice of preservation of interest. And I think this is the statutory execution of the common law procedure. And what you do in this section, it tells you that the form, how it should be made out. They actually give you instructions on it. And so what you do is you file this form with the county recorder against a property. Let's say you're suing a judge. You do a property search through a private investigator. You find out what properties he has. You then put a preservation of interest, and in the preservation of interest, you say that the basis for your interest in the property is this lawsuit against him. That immediately screws up his credit. It immediately screws up his ability to sell the property if he wishes to duck out of it. Because whoever buys the property, if you win, they lose. Okay? So keep that in mind. That preservation of interest is a good thing. I haven't found it yet, but...
We've got 6 minutes left.
Okay. Yes.
You'll have to have a signed court order
That's the pendant. This is the preservation of interest I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay. And the preservation of interest, you don't have to have it?
No. You just go down and make your declaration.
Is there a cover letter? So they a cover
no,
sheet?
No, cover letters. Just fill out the form. You make it yourself. Actually, you make the form yourself on a typewriter, but right in the code, it tells you exactly what to put in where on the page. It's something designed for people. Okay? They don't like to brag about it. Okay? Let's see. I'm going to try it. Okay. Okay, go ahead, your question.
Well, actually, I just wanted to share that my girlfriend who lives in Hawaii, one of her best friends is a lawyer, and he's Japanese, and he has a little tiny Shih Tzu dog, you know, and he named his dog Sosumi.
Sosumi, okay, very good. Right.
Bill.
Yes.
Right quick, I got a thing here called the notice to the county clerk about filing anything. It says the minute you receive any affidavit, it is recorded. Should you refuse to record my affidavits once deposited with you, you are committing a crime against justice under statutes at large, section 5403, and it is punishable by up to $2,000 fine and 3 years imprisonment.
Which statutes at large?
Statutes at large, section 5403, I don't know which one.
Which one?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, you've got the section within this, but you need a particular statute.
Well, it's titled LXX, Crimes, Chapter 4, Crimes Against Justice. So it's titled,
That's code, see?
Well, that's a code?
Okay, but if you have a code section, that works too, because then you can trace the statute.
It says 5403, every person who willfully destroys or attempts to destroy with an intent to steal or destroy, takes and carries away any record, paper, or proceeding of a court of justice filed or deposited with any clerk or officer of such court, or any paper or document or filed record, or deposited in any public office, or with any judicial or public officer, shall, without reference to the value of the record, paper, document, or proceeding so taken, pay a fine of not more than $2,000 and suffer imprisonment at hard labor not more than 3 years or both. So you got some...
Sounds like a deal.
Yeah, we got some stuff against them if they refuse to file your paperwork.
Okay. Got 3 minutes here? All right. So, next question. Okay, no more questions? Is that the end of the session here? No? I'm still looking, but, you know. I'm trying to find that one that... I think it's the civil code. And I think it's in the 800 series. See if I can find it. All right, we got 2 minutes of disc time, so we're almost finished.
Hey, well, Bill's looking for that. We only have 2 minutes. Let's give him a thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you. Well, thank you. I hope you folks that traveled as far as you did got your money's worth. You know, some of you people must have cost you $1,000 to get here. Yes, sir.
Well, I was just going to ask you to repeat everything. I forgot.
Yeah. What can I say? Do it in 3 minutes. But I don't see it in the civil code. Maybe it's the Code of Civil Procedure. Yes. If I can find it real fast.
We got 1 minute
left. Well, I guess I can't find it that fast.
Under pressure.
Yeah, it never works. No, not that one. But that's a good one to know about. Just remember preservation of interest. And you can go to the California Legislative Info website, and you can find it there. You know, you can do a California code search and look for preservation of interest. You'll find it. Okay. Well, okay. I guess we're at the official end of the DVD. So you should each get a copy if you stick around long enough, so I can make copies, and you'll be able to go away with it. I'll stick around a bit. The doors close for coming in at 9:00 on the outside, but there's many guests out there, so we can stay and talk a little bit and so forth. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Okay.